So this morning, we are continuing our message on Sermon on the Mount. Have you enjoyed this teaching from Matthew chapter 5?
Yes.
You must enjoy it because you keep coming back. Keep coming back from some more of Jesus' hard sayings. He taught some tough things in this chapter 5 that we've been looking at. And this morning, we are going to take a look at what Jesus said about going the second mile. So the title of the message is Go Long, Second Mile Strong. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this message, for the words of Jesus to us. This morning we open up our hearts to receive what you're saying to us. And we thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit teaches us today. Teach us, Holy Spirit, as we study your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we study this passage, we want to keep in mind that Jesus was instructing the followers in the righteousness of the kingdom. If you remember, several Sundays ago, Jesus told the people that their righteousness was to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And then he went on to explain further through this chapter what that looks like. So we have taken a look at how the scribes and Pharisees interpreted the law and what Jesus said the law really meant. And so we've looked at murder, adultery, divorce, and the swearing of oaths. And in this lesson is about taking revenge. Okay, so we're going to read this passage together, and then I'm going to share a story with you. Okay, Matthew 5, 38 through 42 says, would you read it with me? You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. So I want to share a story with you this morning, and maybe you've heard this story before, but there was a weary truck driver who pulled his rig into an all-night truck stop, and he was really tired and hungry. And so he went in to get something to eat, and the waitress served him. And shortly after he got his food, there were three tough-looking guys that came in. They had leather jackets on and kind of looked like Hell's Angel type of guys. And they decided that they wanted to give him a hard time. So not only did they verbally abuse him and taunt him, but one of them grabbed his hamburger off his plate, while another one grabbed a handful of French fries. And then the third one picked up his coffee and began to drink it, just taunting him. Well, the truck driver didn't respond like the waitress thought he would. She was like getting back, you know, ready for a big fight. She said that instead he calmly just picked up his check, stood up out of his seat, and walked to the register, put his money down, and he turned around and walked out the door. So she was standing at the register, and she was putting his money in, and one of the guys said, well, what kind of a man is he? And the waitress said, I don't know what kind of a man he is, but I do know that he's a really bad driver. He just ran over three motorcycles. You know, on some level, we all like that story, don't we? Because as human beings, we just have this desire to get even when something happens to us. You've probably heard people say, or maybe you've said it, I don't get mad, I get even. Well, this is kind of what Jesus is talking about. Actually, it is what the Lord is talking about in this passage. All of us feel this desire to get even. We want to pay back. We want to settle the score. And we want an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Or maybe we want a broken jaw for a tooth. But Jesus really messes with our desire to take justice into our own hands in this passage. Because we not only want justice to be done, we want to be the one that does it. Would you agree with me? You felt that way before? So we have to admit that these words of Jesus are really extremely difficult. We want to stand up for ourselves. We want to defend ourselves. And turning the other cheek sounds absolutely ridiculous. And what about the person suing us? Jesus is talking about giving them more than what they asked for. You know, we might go the second mile with our family, but for our enemies, it just doesn't sound very practical, does it? So this passage in Exodus 21:24, where we first hear the law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, it's considered the law of retaliation. It is in the Old Testament, and the scribes and the Pharisees had taken it and perverted it for their own personal use. But what Jesus was saying, and we'll discuss a little bit further on, was that this law was made for the judges of Israel. It assured that justice was fair and people received no more or no less than what they deserved. It's similar to our judicial system today. A criminal is sentenced and tried by the court. Is that right? We have laws so that the just penalty is paid for the crime that's committed. So when God gave this law at that time, it was like the law of the jungle. You know, someone would bash in your head and break your jaw over something that was really small. So it gave the judges a formula for dealing with crime. And so they make the punishment fit the crime. It's like when you appear before the judge and you have a traffic ticket, you don't expect to be sentenced to death like the person prior to you who had committed a murder, right? Okay. So Jesus was teaching his disciples and his followers about kingdom righteousness and about going to the next level. Who wants to go to the next level of your walk with Jesus Christ? Do we? We have this desire. Lord, we want to go to the next level. So Lord, teach us today and give us revelation and understanding what all of this means. So we're going to look at ways that Jesus broke this down. And it seems really radical, but let's take a look at it. The first thing he said was to turn the other cheek. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him also. So Jesus is focusing on the attitudes of his followers when they're dealing with evil individuals. He said, I tell you not to resist an evil person. And that word is translated in the Greek, and it also means not only resist, but not to take legal action against. So the world advocates getting even. You know, we've gone through a period of time in America that you can get sued for anything and everything. You're just being a good Samaritan helping someone out, and you can end up sued. You know, and this has really caused people, I think, to hesitate and not jump in and be the good Samaritan because they're concerned about a lawsuit coming down the line. And then the word that's used for slap, if someone slaps you or strikes you on the cheek, you're to turn the other cheek, it was considered the slap of insult. What it describes is someone insulting you, and it felt like a slap on the face. It wasn't actually bodily harm, but someone was slapping you with an insult. Have you ever felt like you were slapped with an insult? I'm not going to ask you if you've ever slapped someone with an insult. Thank you. That's between you and God. But we all know what that feels like. Okay? This is what Jesus is referring to. According to Jewish law, the one who slapped another person's slapped another person was faced with punishment and a heavy fine. So the law was always on the side of the victim, and the victim would have every right to take the offense to court. But Jesus told them not to take legal channels, but turn the other cheek instead. However, it's wrong to think that Jesus would expect us to stand and take physical abuse from someone. If someone hits you over the head with a ball bat on the right side, you don't turn your other cheek and say, oh, hit me here too. Jesus was not talking about that. But he was instructing us to have the right attitude. When something happens that you're offended by it, you feel like you're slapped or even bumped. Have you ever accidentally bumped into someone and they just become unglued? I mean, it's shocking. You know, you bump someone and they just go off on you and you're like, sorry, but the Lord said, don't be quick to jump into the fight with them. Have the right heart attitude when these difficult situations happen, because tell your neighbor they're going to happen. And tell them, go the second mile strong. Go long, second mile strong. That's the kind of people God wants us to be. Known as second mile strong people. Okay? Romans 12:17-19 says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. See, as much as depends on you. They might not be at peace with you, but we can find a place of peace in our own hearts towards them. We do not have to jump into the fight. We don't have to jump into the bitterness and the complaining and the talking and the backbiting and the gossip and trying to get people on our side and telling everybody our story. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody say amen. Amen. Then he goes on and says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So, when a situation happens that really gets you and you feel like you want to get even, if you can give that to God, let God deal with that person. Do you know what? God will deal in a just and a fair way with that person. His number one concern is about their soul and saving their soul. Our number one concern is not that when we are mad at somebody. We want them to die and go to hell as quick as possible. We will condemn them somewhere, right? Is that not what we do? And we even look for that scripture in the Bible that we can use against them. You know what goes on in our heads? Yeah. We're people. We're all people. We all deal with these things. Jesus knew it. That's why he's talking to us this morning. So we are going to trust God to someday. You may not ever see it, but God will make things right. I just want to read a passage that's not in the PowerPoint or your notes, but it's from Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 4. And I'm going to read it to you from the Message Bible. And the title of this short passage is, Wake Up From Your Sleep. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Do you know most children model their parents? As a parent, having parented children, I realize sometimes I acted as childish as they were. You know, I believe God lets us have children so we realize how childish we are. They have a tantrum and we respond with one. But we're bigger so we get our way. Did you notice that? As parents, you start to have to deal with your immaturity. God wants us to deal with immaturity. Amen? He wants a mature bride. But in this passage, in the Message, it says, watch what God does, and then you do it. So our role model is God. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but his love was extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. And then it goes on and says, don't allow love to turn into lust, setting off a downhill slide into sexual promiscuity, filthy practices, or bullying greed. Though some tongues just love the taste of gossip. Christians have better uses for their language than that. Don't talk dirty or silly. That kind of talk doesn't fit our style. Thanksgiving is our dialect. And that's the end of that passage. Thanksgiving is our dialect. We talk the language of love. And in this passage, it's what the Lord is talking about. Be a person that can let it go. Be a person that can let it go. What I share with people, if you're offended by someone and you've been in a situation and you cannot let it go, then that means that you need to go to that person. You go, is what the scripture says. And if your brother or sister hears you, then you've won a friend. You've won a brother and sister. If they don't hear you and you can't let it go, then you take someone with you. But we see how gangs settle fights by taking the whole gang, right? But God wants us to be able to sit down and reasonably talk to one another and go with the right heart attitude, which would be wanting the best for that person. I'm not talking about this love that you have all these affections toward this person. I'm talking about agape love, which is a love that wants the best for another person. So we love mankind, whether they're saved or not, because we want the best for them. That's what should be in our hearts. We should be a people that speak the language of love, and our dialect is thanksgiving. So tell your neighbor, go long, second mile strong. The second thing Jesus said is give more than is required. If anyone wants to sue you and takes away your tunic, let him have your cloak too. And under God's law, no one could keep a person's cloak overnight. A cloak was a very valuable piece of clothing. It says in Exodus 22, 26 to 27, if you take your neighbor's cloak in pawn, you shall restore it before the sun goes down. For it may be your neighbor's only clothing to use as cover. In what else shall that person sleep? And if your neighbor cries out to me, I will listen, for I am compassionate. So the cloak was the most valuable position, or a possession, because making clothes at that time was really, really difficult. You can only imagine how difficult it was to come up with clothes, right? I mean, it isn't like it is today. You can't just go to any old store and buy a top or buy a coat. So cloaks were really expensive, and people usually only owned one of them. And they could be used as a blanket, a sack to carry things in. They could be all folded up and sit down, you know, put it on the pew so your seat is a little softer. And they were used to pledge a debt. And of course, they were used for clothing. But in this case that Jesus is talking about, the person is asking for their tunic. A tunic was a garment that was worn close to the skin. Again, Jesus focused on the attitude that he wanted his followers to have. He said, if they want one, then give them the other two. If they want your tunic, give them your cloak. Go the second mile. Leonard and I taught our first group together, which were two-year-olds going on three. And we learned how tightly little people hold on to earthly possessions. Lots of tug of wars with yelling, mine, their favorite word, mine. And Jesus was talking to us about not holding on to our earthly possessions so tightly. We should be good stewards of them, take good care of what God has given to us. But when our focus is on our possessions, that's where we're finding our security instead of finding our security in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he's able to take care of us. When he sent his disciples out, he said, don't take a purse with you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to take care of you. Wow. How much do we really rely on God, or how much do we really rely on our earthly possessions? Don't hold on to them too tight. Jesus wanted us to understand it's more about the heart attitude to give and the heart attitude to share. It's the heart attitude, I want to bless somebody. It's not about getting our own way and holding on so tightly. You see, Jesus starts talking to us about giving up our personal rights, doesn't he? And then he starts talking to us about giving up, not holding on to our possessions so tightly. Because our security's in him. And you know what? He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can take care of us. Number three, he said, go the extra mile. So we have turn the other cheek, give more than is required, and now we have go the extra mile. Verse 41, and whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. At that time, Judah was under Roman military occupation, and it was the law that a Roman soldier could come to you and ask you to carry his load for a mile. And you were commanded to do that. You didn't have a choice. You had to carry it. But what Jesus is telling the people, he said, take the load and willingly go 2 miles. The first mile is demanded of you, but it's your choice to give a second mile. So what was an attempt of a soldier to manipulate you, to dominate you, to use you, you really flip the table when you willingly say, oh no, I would love to give you a second mile. I'll do this another mile. Now to the people Jesus were talking to, this was really tough for them to grasp because they hated it when they had to give 1 mile. But the Lord wanted them to have a servant attitude. I will serve you. And Jesus went the second mile for us. He served us. He laid down his life for us. The Lord was saying, this is not too difficult of a task. And there's times in our life when we really don't want to do something for somebody, but we know that there really is a need. Have you ever been in that spot? And you've got to go the second mile strong. You got to put yourself into that and say, yes, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this for this person because I want to bless them. I want to serve them. God owns our life, right? But we like to run it ourselves, right? We like to take control and do it the way we want to do it. But the Lord says, you know what? I'm turning some things upside down. I want you to see these situations from a different perspective, because you are citizens of the kingdom of God. You're from another country. Tell your neighbor, you're from another country. We are from the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens from above. And we have a different standard of living that we live under. Jesus said, come out from the world and be separate. We separate ourselves by making these decisions that Jesus is saying to us in this passage. It is not the way of the world. It is not the way that we humanly think. It goes contrary to all of our flesh and what we really want to do. Is that true?
Yes.
But the Lord says, you are kingdom people. You're to model your life after me. Remember, we imitate Christ and what he has done for us. He turned the other cheek. He took all of the insults for us. He didn't retaliate. He didn't fight back. But he went that second mile for us. And now in this passage, that's what he's asking us to do. Go long, second mile strong. We got to talk to ourselves sometimes. We got to go long. We've got to hold on. Do you ever find yourself talking to yourself? I got to talk myself happy some days, you know? Give myself some good counsel here. We cannot do these things without the help of the Lord. We don't have it in us. We think we can muster up the strength and we got the willpower. But the truth is, we go right back. Jesus gave us a divine nature when we were born again by the Spirit of God. We receive the nature, the DNA of our Heavenly Father. We've got it in us to go the second mile strong. Sometimes we have to look through it, through all of the clutter and all of the thoughts that are bombarding our head. We've got to get to the place where we hear the Holy Spirit so that we can do what God is asking us to do. Tell your neighbor it doesn't come natural. It'd be wonderful when we got saved, you know, if the Lord just waved this wand over us and, wow, we are just the most godly, spiritual, wonderful, kind, loving people. It doesn't work like that. We all have to work at these things. But God's given us a divine nature. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4, it talks about the exceeding great and precious promises that we have, and we become partakers of them in our divine nature. And because we have this divine nature, it says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The divine nature of God on the inside of us will help us escape the corruption and the lust of this world. God is a good father. We can go the second mile strong. The fourth thing, and this is the final thing, he said, show mercy to the less fortunate. Verse 42, give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Jesus was asking his followers to be generous in their giving and not to expect anything in return. If you give to someone with a motive that you're going to get something, then you're probably going to be disappointed. Because that's not how it works in the kingdom of God. And even giving, knowing that God's going to repay us, it may be several days or months before that payment comes. But God is faithful to keep his word. The payment will come. Tell your neighbor, the payment will come. Proverbs 19:17 says, he who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will pay back what he has given. You see, we're supposed to have pity on the poor, not have an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth by judging them and saying, well, they're poor because they did this and they did that and they're in this sin and they... Have you ever heard people talk like that? It just turns my stomach. You do not know, we do not know what that person has struggled through, what they have walked through, and God didn't ask us to judge them. God asked us to be kind to them and to give to them. Amen? And give the Lord a praise. If God gave us what we deserve, none of us would be alive today. Be zapped. Crispy critter. Be fried. You see, what goes on in our head, between our ears, is so important for us to get this under control in this season that we're in. God is calling the body of Christ to the next level. We're going to another level. And so our thoughts have to align with God's thoughts. And what goes on between our ears can get us in so much trouble. God wants us to be able to bring those thoughts into captivity. To have a negative, critical, judgmental attitude is going to destroy you. It will. It brings death. Is there any life in that? Is there any life? There is no life in that. People, listen, people get that in the world all the time. So what would make a Christian any different if we're walking around with the same type of attitude and negative energy coming out of us? Because you might not say it, but they know you're thinking it. Come on. Saved or unsaved, people discern and know what is going on. How many agree with that? You know, Christians think they're all that, which we have the Holy Spirit, so we do have the ability to know, but it's always for good. It's not for evil. But if we hold on to those old ways of thinking, we're not going to reach the lost. And this world needs Jesus. Jesus represents love. Jesus was not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus was, I'm going to go the second mile. I'm giving this thing everything I have. My life is not my own. I'm laying down my life for the people in this world, for everyone. Everyone. Give him a praise. He laid down his life for everyone. Everyone. And his last words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's the place we have to come to. Unsaved people act like unsaved people. You know, heathens act like heathens. They're not going to act the way you want them to or think they should. They do what is in their heart. And sometimes we just have to say, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they do. And having mercy and grace on that person, they'll know there's something different about you. You're not like the world. You're not like the world. They got mad, yelled at you, and you didn't yell back. That's good. This is good. You know, sometimes you just have to say it. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And just keep going. You got to get out of the situation. Don't be running them over. And isn't it interesting? You know, the terrorists started running cars into crowds of people. And this is what happens. That opens a gateway in the demonic realm. There is another realm besides this realm. There was a gate open. And now this, you hear this all the time. We didn't hear this before, did we? No, it was like the first shooting in a school. The gate was opened. And then we heard about it over and over and over again. We've got to be wise people, God's people. There is a whole nother realm of demonic activity that takes place. And the devil is working to open up his gates and his portholes because he wants death and destruction to come into our life. But we also must be aware that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of the battle of angel armies, is on our side. There is more for us than there is against us. You see, God wants to open our eyes to see what he is doing in this day and age. And he wants us to act like his children. Okay? Imitate God. He wants us to imitate Jesus Christ. He wants us to shine in this world so people will be drawn to the light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Lord. We're just going to pray over this message today. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord that came forth today. Lord, I thank you that your word is quick and it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, that it cuts away what needs to be cut away. And Lord, I ask right now that you add to us what it is that we need. And Lord, the areas in each one of our lives that need to change, help us, Lord, to change, to be transformed, to be more like you, to reach the lost, to love the world like you love the world. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a big praise. Hallelujah.